The Dallas police said that it apparently seemed as though the man who had made the attack on the president's life, the person who had made that attack, had been there for some time. They found the remains of a chicken dinner and various papers lying all around. Now under arrest, Lee H. Oswald. He calls himself chairman of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. He's the prime suspect in the assassination of President Kennedy. He's now under arrest. He returned to his Fort Worth, Texas home from Russia last year. He was in the Soviet Union since 1959. He spent his time in Russia working in a factory in Minsk. He left only after he apparently became disillusioned with life under the communist rule. Oswald had gone to Russia after his discharge from the U.S. Marines. He said at that time that he wanted to remain in Russia. He had a change of heart, then applied for a passport in the fall of 1962, saying he wanted to return to the United States with a Russian wife that he met and married in the Soviet Union. They have a baby. The passport was issued. Soviet authorities granted him exit permits, both for him and his family. It was in 1959, after he had defected to the Soviet Union, that Oswald told American embassy officials there that he had applied for Soviet citizenship. Under arrest today, accused of the assassination of President Kennedy, Lee H. Oswald, in Dallas, Texas. The president lies dead. Mrs. Kennedy returning with the body of her husband aboard the presidential plane with President Lyndon Johnson. They arrive at Andrews Air Force Base in Washington a little after 6 o'clock, about an hour and 10 minutes from now. ABC will be on the scene at that time. In the meantime, some observations on today from the national editor of ABC Radio News, Walter Porges.
Thank you, Don. Just a few words to give our listeners an idea of what they can expect on the ABC radio network this evening in connection with this horrible tragedy that has struck the nation and the world today. Very shortly, we hope to be able to present live from St. Patrick's Cathedral in here in New York a memorial program, tribute to President Kennedy. Then, as Don Gardner mentioned, we will bring you live from Andrews Air Force Base in Washington the arrival of Air Force One, the big jet, carrying President Kennedy's body back to the nation's capital. This evening, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, roughly 3 hours from now, the ABC Radio Network will present a one-hour tribute to President John F. Kennedy. Immediately following that, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the ABC Radio Network will present a one-hour memorial concert in tribute to our late president. Now here again is Don Gardner.
There's been some late news announced at the White House. Let us find out what it is. We take you to Bob Fleming, ABC in Washington.
Lyndon B. Johnson will make his first trip to the White House as President of the United States within the next 2 hours. The plane in which he took a oath of office as he left Dallas is also bringing back to Washington the body of John F. Kennedy. There is no word here at the White House whether the new president will remain overnight. Mr. Kennedy's body will be taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital, we're told. His brother-in-law, Sergeant Shriver, will be in charge of the funeral arrangements. Mrs. Kennedy is also on the presidential plane returning from Dallas. It is probable now that she will be the one that will break the news of her husband's death to their two children. Caroline and John Jr. have not been told. They are here in the White House in the care of their nurse, Maud Shaw. Outside the White House, the crowd still stand. The word has not yet reached them for certain that the new president, Lyndon Johnson, will come here, but the word is that he may. And in part of this sympathy and understanding, they stand silently waiting and watching. Bob Fleming, ABC, the White House.
Also in Washington today, Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota held a news conference. Mr. Senator Humphrey had visited the White House, and I would like to ask Senator Humphrey, what was the mood there?
But of course, the mood there is the mood of the country, the terrible sense of shock, and tragedy, and personal loss, and heartache. There isn't very much that one can say except that what irony that this should happen in the United States, a country that is dedicated to law and order, a country that believes in the dignity of the individual. And yet, an assassin takes the life of our president. I've said to others, and I say to you, that not only has the world lost a very fine and great man and great leader, and the nation lost a great president, but I personally feel a very keen loss of something moving out of one's life. Then I can't help too but think personally of the family of our departed president, Mrs. Kennedy, who lost her baby, now her husband. These are very, very difficult and tragic moments.
Is it possible, Senator, for you to comment on what the change in the presidency will mean as far as our foreign domestic policies are concerned?
I don't believe that one can comment upon that, except to say that the president, President Kennedy, had a very close working relationship with President Johnson. And I would hope that the whole nation and the whole world would be reassured that the basic policies of our foreign policy would be maintained, and of our security and of our domestic policy.
Could you tell us of your last meeting with President Kennedy?
Yes, I remember vividly. It was just Wednesday morning. It was a very happy meeting, a very friendly meeting. In fact, we walked together from the breakfast table back to the president's private office. We were talking about the Congress, the bills that were before the Congress, talking about his trip. It was just a very personal, friendly visit. I don't know if ever there can be any more friendly and cordial relationship than was maintained by the president with those of us that were privileged to know him.
What would you look for to happen tonight when President Johnson returns to Washington?
Well, of course, President Johnson is an extremely able man. He's experienced in government. He has been a close working partner with President Kennedy. I know that he will be able to take over the reins of government with firm hands, competent hands, and he'll have the prayers of every American, and I think of the most of the world, because the whole world looks to the United States, and when they look to the United States, they look to the White House and to whomever is there. So I would expect that the Vice President would, who now is the president, would move right into position of responsible leadership and calmly and assuredly take hold of the reins of government. That's the way I would see it.
Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota, speaking after he had made a visit to the White House today and also with some observations on the future and President Lyndon Johnson. While, of course, no plans have definitely been announced, the president's family, Mr. Kennedy's family, are the ones who will determine exactly the preparations for the funeral. It would be a normal assumption that the president's body will be taken to Capitol Hill, there placed in the great rotunda under the dome of the Capitol, to lie in state. It has always been normal for a president who dies in office to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda. It's also probable, because of the president's deep attachment to his home area of Boston, Massachusetts, that the funeral services will be held there. It will be a full-dress affair to honor Mr. Kennedy. and his role as the leader of the nation. And while I may sound a little bit repetitious, again, some of you have not been able to follow all of the news all afternoon. 4 hours and 1 minute ago, it was announced in Dallas, Texas, that the President of the United States was dead, assassinated while driving in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, the announcement has been made that the Harvard-Yale football game scheduled for tomorrow will not be played. ABC Stuart Klein has just returned from a Roman Catholic church on New York City's West Side. Here's his report.
The Church of St. Paul the Apostle is at 60th Street and Columbus Avenue on New York's Upper West Side. It is a rundown neighborhood. Across the street, a bar, a pawn shop, two soaked storefronts. The church is long and wide, dark and silent. There is the sweet smell of burning candles. The stained glass windows glow in the faint light of the late afternoon. There are maybe 50 people in the church, some sitting, some kneeling, some standing before images along the side walls. No one speaks. More people come into the church. A secretary, she is about 19, a postman about 55, a truck driver about 35. They all had one thing in common. Each carried a newspaper, the extra editions, with that same banner headline, President Dead. There is a well-dressed Puerto Rico woman. She carries 3 Christmas packages and the same newspaper. She kneels and cries. You hear her, and you hear footsteps on the stone floor, and you hear the old door squeak on its hinges as they come and go. Otherwise, it is quiet. All the people there were together, but each was alone. I dropped a coin in the slot marked St. Anthony's Poor Box, and then I left.
Thank you, Stu Klein, for your observations at the church around the corner. This scene is probably what is being duplicated 1,000 times over from one end of our nation to another. Businessmen gathered in the streets in silence. Silence reigned in the homes of the humble. News of President Kennedy's wounding was heard in stunned belief. And then the shock of the announcement of his death. Then a feeling of hatred and disgust. Throughout the length and breadth of the land, courts, administrative buildings, judges, lawyers, court attaches, gathered in little groups. In office buildings, secretaries and bosses looked at each other and stared in disbelief. They were shocked and saddened. On the radio, over the television, they'd heard the news. In hospitals throughout the land, the patients tuned in. The sudden news from Dallas came like a surgical shock. Doctors and nurses had to hurry to many a bedside to administer a sedative. In restaurants throughout the nation, the news broke amidst the luncheon hour chatter. Stilled all conversation. Gloom fell on the tables. Some people got up from the table, walked away. Others sat there in silence.